I'm Brian Moline. There's a lot happening in the U.S. Senate this week, with several final votes for Donald Trump's cabinet nominees and a Supreme Court nominee to be discussed, not to mention the continuing court fight over the president's recent executive order on immigration. We'll discuss as much of this as we can with Illinois' senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Senator, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Brian.
You and your Democratic colleagues in the Senate have been speaking all night in opposition to the nomination of Betsy DeVos as Secretary of Education. The latest vote count I've seen on that shows this as a 50-50 vote on her nomination later today. As the minority whip in the Senate, what can you tell us about that?
I think that's right, unless there's a breakthrough. Two Republican senators have opposed her publicly, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine. That would mean, with all Democratic votes, no, 50-50. At that point, Vice President Pence would break the tie. This is the first time ever that a cabinet official has made it into the cabinet with a tie-breaking vote from a vice president. It shows the level of controversy associated with this nomination.
We'll talk about specific nominees in just a moment, but just to step back for a moment, could you tell us about your criteria to confirm a cabinet nominee?
Well, I look for basic competence in terms of the agency that they want to run. We have some curious choices by President Trump. The choice of Scott Pruitt to head up the Environmental Protection Agency is Attorney General from Oklahoma. He's led the nation in filing lawsuits to basically shut down the jurisdiction of the agency. Governor Perry of Texas, an affable, friendly fella who, when he finally remembered during his presidential campaign, wanted to abolish the Department of Energy, he's been asked to head. So, I mean, as you go through the list here, you scratch your head and say, these were the leaders across a nation of 350 million people that President Trump chose for these departments. It's hard to understand.
What about the argument many Republicans are making that elections have consequences, that President Trump should be able to choose who he wants to lead these agencies?
And constitutions have consequences, too. And the Constitution of our country says the Senate shall advise and consent. It doesn't say consent. It says advise and consent. And that means we have to use our best judgment. I do believe that if, there's a 50-50 situation, you lean toward the president and his mandate from the American people, as questionable as this one may be. The fact is, he is the president. But in some cases, it's just hard to understand why he chose the person he did. Many of them are freighted with more financial problems and difficulties when it comes to conflicts of interest than we've seen in modern memory.
Let's go back to Betsy DeVos specifically. What are your concerns for her as Secretary of Education?
What a pathetic demonstration at her hearing. Senator Alexander of Tennessee really went out of the way to protect her. He said, 1 5-minute round, that's it, no extra questions of Ms. DeVos. He knew that he was dealing with the witness on the stand who really couldn't handle questions, and she just so many times showed herself unprepared to lead this department. She didn't understand IDEA, a basic federal mandate to local school districts to make sure disabled kids have a fighting chance. When she was asked almost a throwaway question about guns in schools, her rationale had something to do with the threat of grizzly bears in public schools. I mean, you go through the list and you think to yourself, this is the person who's going to head up the public school education of the United States of America in the 21st century. She's not prepared for the job.
Because the DeVos vote looks to be so close, Senator, the vote on your colleague Jeff Sessions for Attorney General has been delayed. You voted no on his nomination in committee. He certainly has a lot of experience as a prosecutor in Alabama, including 2 years as the state attorney general there. Why doesn't he meet your criteria?
I've known him for 20 years as a senator from Alabama, a backbencher with some pretty extreme views on issues. He is part of the tapestry of the Senate. He's part of the debate. I could give his speeches. He could probably give mine. But then comes the question, is he ready to be the number one chief law enforcement officer of the United States of America? Do we want to entrust with him the office of attorney general? Look at what's happened in the first 2 weeks plus with President Trump. For the first time in the history of the United States, a president has had an executive order stopped by the federal courts. It reminds us how critically important our system of justice is when it comes to the powers of the presidency. So to give to Jeff Sessions this authority based on his performance in the Senate, his relationship with President Trump, is something I can't do.
Elsewhere, President Trump has nominated Neil Gorsuch to fill the long vacant spot on the U.S. Supreme Court. You've said that you will meet with Judge Gorsuch. What are you hoping to learn?
Well, I've met with every single Supreme Court nominee since I've been a senator, and I've learned something personal about each one of them, an insight into who they are and what they stand for. This is the tipping point in the Supreme Court, a 4-4 court, a vacancy created by Senator Mitch McConnell in violation of the tradition of the Senate, which has always entertained nominees sent by the president, giving them a hearing and a vote. When it came to Merrick Garland and President Obama, Senator McConnell said, no way, we're going to hold this vacant in the hopes that we'll elect a Republican president. Well, with a big grin on his face, the day after the election, he prevailed. Now we have to decide what to do as Democrats. First, I want to be consistent. I said every nominee deserves a hearing and a vote. Neil Gorsuch deserves a hearing and a vote. Secondly, we want to pick a person who I hope will be moderate in their approach in the court and not take us to an extreme position. That's why we have hearings. That's why we have questions. I have a lot of questions for him.
And finally, a federal judge in Washington has blocked implementation of the president's executive order halting immigration from 7 Muslim-majority countries. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will hear arguments in that case later today. Certainly President Obama made some sweeping executive orders on immigration during his time in office. Why is this one different?
It's different because it's right out of the box, first 2 weeks of the presidency, an executive order which basically establishes a travel ban for 7 different nations, all majority Muslim, from a president who during his campaign was explicit that he wanted to ban Muslims from coming into the United States. And then after his executive order went on a Christian broadcasting show and said, we will show favoritism toward Christian refugees. These statements during the campaign and on that Christian broadcast show are inconsistent with who we are as Americans. It gets to the fundamentals of religion in this great nation and how we've kept it together over 2 centuries when others have fallen apart on this issue. So, yes, I think this is critically important. It was heartbreaking for me to go up to the suburbs of Chicago on Sunday with a meeting of about 900 Muslim families, mothers, dads, and children, and to see the look in their eyes as they realize that this executive order is saying we want no more Muslim children like those who've gathered here in Villa Park. That, to me, is troubling, and I hope the courts will continue to stop this ban from going forward.
Well, Senator, that's all the time we have for this morning. Illinois' senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Senator, thank you so much for joining us on a busy day in Washington.
It's good to be with you. Thanks.